He said, the tongue is in you in a unique way. The tongue is you in a unique way. It is the tattletale on the heart and discloses the real person. Not only that, but misuse of the tongue is perhaps the easiest way to sin. There are some sins that an individual may not be able to commit simply because he or she does not have the opportunity to. But there are no limits to what one can say. There are no built-in restraints or boundaries. In Scripture, the tongue is described as wicked, blasphemous, foolish, boasting, complaining, cursing, contentious, sensual, and vile. And that list is not exhaustive. No wonder God put the tongue in the cage behind the teeth, walled behind the mouth. This morning, I want to spend a little time speaking with you for a little while about, I struggle with coming up with a title of this message because there are so many great titles out there. But the startling title that I came up with was Terrible Toxic Tongue. Terrible Toxic Tongue. Bow your head with me for a word of prayer. Oh, Father, we come to you this morning thanking you for who you are, Lord. Thanking you for bringing us to this place this morning. We come to you this morning, Lord, asking that you prepare our hearts for a word from you. Father, I ask that you would use me this morning. You would speak through me, Lord. Use me as a vessel, Lord. I confess that I am not worthy to tell anybody anything, but I ask for your grace and your mercy this morning. I ask that you would just let your Holy Spirit fall down fresh among this place and move in a mighty way. Let the words out of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Our elder Reed, he has been going through the book of James here in the Sunday school class. And I thought that this morning we would pick up where he left off. I'm going to try to attempt to go through this first 12 verses of chapter 3. And if you would open your Bibles to chapter 3, starting at verse 1. These 12 verses here are startlingly, they are very convicting. They are point blank to the point. And the Bible says in verse 1, not many of you should become teachers, my brothers. For you know that we who teach will be judged with a greater strictness. For we all stumble in many ways. And if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. If we put bits in the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder, wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue, it is a small member, yet it boasts great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small member? And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it, we bless our Lord and Father, and with it, we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers and sisters, these things ought not be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. We have a little small piece of flesh in between our teeth that has caused many problems in the lives, in our own lives, and in the lives of others. James began this section with something that he touched on back in chapter 1, verse 19. He said, "Know this, my beloved brothers, and let everyone, every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger." And in verse 26, he says again, "If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless." The first thing we see James began to address here in verse 1 is teachers. We see that he includes himself as well. As Brother Marcel has taught us earlier, we learned that James was the pastor, a teacher of the Jerusalem church. And we have learned that he is writing this letter to his dispersed or scattered congregation. But he has this concern. The text tells us in verse 1 that his concern was for those in the congregation that had a desire to become teachers. It was said at this point in time that there were those who wasn't qualified or had natural ability or spiritual gifting. They was coveting the position of teacher. And they did this, one of the reasons is because back then, high esteem was gave to the office of teacher. So James warns them about this. He says, "We who teach will be held, will be judged with greater strictness." Now, I don't want you to misunderstand James. He is not saying that no one, none of them, or none of us should aspire to become a teacher. That's not what he's saying. But what he is saying, he is saying that we need to be sure that God has called us to teach. And we need to be sure of this because the judgment that comes with teaching is stricter than it is when you're not a teacher. James is saying that we are going to be accountable and judged more strictly for the things that we say out of our mouth. Because as a teacher, the most essential instrument is our tongue. And it has great influence in the lives of others. You know, it's one thing for you to lead yourself astray, but it's an entirely different thing to lead somebody else astray. That's what James is getting at. It's very easy to lead other individuals astray by what you say out of your mouth. And not only that, it's an issue of pride and boasting. It takes a certain amount of humility to be able to teach others. James is giving this warning. He is concerned about this. Another reason why James gives this warning or has this concern is because he knows that none of us are perfect. He knows that we are all sinners and sinners sin. He says that we all stumble in many ways. And he's not talking about just making mistakes. He's using that word stumble figuratively. It's referring to the acts of sin. He told us back in chapter 2, for whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point, he has become guilty of them all. So James knows that the things that we say out of our mouth, in some of the things we say out of our mouth is going to cause us to sin because none of us are perfect. James says that we are sinners and we're all sinners and sinners sin. He says that the person who was never at fault in his speech is a perfect man. And we all know that the only person who's perfect is Jesus Christ. All of us in here have fell victim to having a loose tongue, therefore resulting in loose lips. There are things that some of us have said that we wish we can take them back. There are things that we may have said that we now regret. James is basically telling us that things will loosely fall from our tongue at some point in time if we don't grab a hold and bridle our tongue. We must be very careful. We must be very, very careful. James knows this and can say this because, like I said, none of us are perfect. He says that if a person claims that they don't stumble or sin, they are perfect, able to control his whole body. I don't think you got that. He said that if there is a person who claims that they do not stumble or sin, they are a perfect man, able to control his whole body. James says that if there's a person who claims that they do not stumble or sin with his mouth, his lips, or his tongue, that person would not sin in no other way. James says that if we could control our tongue, we could control our whole body. I'm being real repetitious right here because I want that to sink in. That's something that we have to grab a hold here. If we could control our tongue, we could control our whole body. If I don't say the things I say, maybe I won't do the things that I do. James is trying to get us to grab a hold of this little thing in our mouth. It oftentimes dictates what we do with our bodies. And if we could subdue what's in our mouth, we could control what we do with our bodies. That's very important. That's why I got to keep reiterating that. Let's move forward, because now James moves into giving us two illustrations about this. Two illustrations about this little thing in our mouth controlling our whole being. He says in verse 3 and verses 4, he said, if we put bits in the mouth of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder, wherever the will of the pilot directs. The average horse weighs around 1,100 pounds. That's a whole lot of power. Some large horse breeds have been known to pull up to 2,500 pounds, twice their own weight. Even though a horse is this powerful, we can put a bit in the horse's mouth and we can pull on the reins and have the horse to turn left. We can pull on the reins and have the horse to turn back to the right. We can pull on the reins and to the back and backwards and the horse would stop. We can control this massive animal with this small thing that we have placed in his mouth. Could you imagine how dangerous it would be if we was riding a horse up a mountain and all of a sudden the bit and the reins fell out of his mouth? What would happen? This big, massive animal would be out of control. You cannot control it at that point. He also says that ships, big old ships out on the sea. Some of us have taken cruises. These cruise ships, some of these ships weigh 20 to 60,000 tons. They navigate through these different, through strong winds, through rain, sleet, and snow. How are they doing that? How is this big old ship getting through all of this, the elements outside? Well, it's being guided by a very small rudder that's in the back of the ship. Something very small. And the captain of the ship is able to turn the helm, I think that's what you call it, the helm of the ship, either which way, and it moves and turns by this little small rudder in the back. Again, if we can get our mouths under control, we can control our whole body. This is why Solomon says in Ecclesiastes 5:6, he says, let not your mouth lead you into sin. Now, why is James illustrating this? What does James want us to know? What is the problem here? Well, it's right here in the next few verses. He says in verse 5, so the tongue also is a small member, yet it boasts great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue, here it is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and is set on fire by hell. This little part of the body, though small, boasts great things. It makes mountains out of molehills. It makes promises that it can't keep. It says one thing and does another. I'm not on your street yet. Let me try again. It speaks things that the rest of the body cannot fulfill. It tells crude jokes. Oh, my goodness. You see, do you see what James is trying to get at here? Do you see what James is trying to shed light on here? James says that this tongue is a fire. This little thing in our mouth is a fire, and it is a world of unrighteousness. He said this little thing in between our teeth, behind our mouth, is a world of unrighteousness. He said it's full of sin. He said that it defiles us. It burns our whole body. It burns our entire course of life, and that fire is being kindled by Satan himself. To put it another way, what comes out of our mouth ignites our passions. What we talk about, what we say gets us flowing and desiring things that we ought not want to desire. The devil has the ability to get us to speak what he wants us to speak, because some of us don't have a filter. We have not reached a level of maturity to be able to hold our tongue. All of us must get to the place where before we speak, we ask ourselves, is what I'm about to say is coming from heaven? Is it coming from heaven, or is it coming from hell? We must always remember what Jesus said back in Matthew chapter 12, verse 36. He says, I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word that they speak. For by your words, you will be justified, and by your words, you will be condemned. I would like to tell you that James is done hitting us in our mouth, but he's not done yet. He has a little bit more bad news for us. He says in verse 7, for every kind of beast and bird and reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. James is now making a shift here. He's shifting from the power that this tongue has to how perverse and perverted this tongue is. Back in Genesis, first chapter 28, God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, birds of heaven and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Lions, tigers and bears. Oh, my. God gave us dominion over that. Snakes, lizards and iguanas, whales, dolphins and catfish. God gave us dominion over all these things. But James says, no man can tame the tongue. It's interesting. He says, the tongue is a restless evil and full of deadly poison. That word restless in verse 8 is saying that our tongue is unsettled, it's unstable, it's and disorderly and cannot be restrained. None of us have that power in and of ourselves to keep our mouths in check or to get our mouths under control. This is the result of the fall. We have retained dominion over animals, but have lost dominion over our own selves. Wow. That's startling right there. All of us in here right now, we're walking around with something evil, unstable and poisonous in our mouths. I didn't see it. That's what the Bible said. That's what James said. All of us have this in us. We're walking around with it. What are we going to do with that? Because the results of this thing in our mouth could be catastrophic. We could poison ourselves, James says. We could poison our kids. We could poison our wives or our husbands. Proverbs 18 says that from the fruit of a man's mouth, his stomach is satisfied. He is satisfied by the yield of his lips. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it will eat of its fruits. What we say out of our mouths could bring good or could bring evil. It could lead to life or it could lead to death. Let us be a people, let us be a church who speaks life. And James has clearly illustrated to us that this is not something that we have the ability or the power to do. So how do we get there? How do we get there? James is making it clear that without supernatural grace and assistance from Jesus Christ, we will never be able to get our tongues in check. But only by God's grace, only by being under the control of the Holy Spirit will the believer be able to get this thing in our mouths subdued or in check. So what is that saying? I mean, what really is that saying? How do we do that? Yes, we're all saved. You know, we say that we have, you know, accepted Christ in our life and we're walking with him. But if our relationship is really not right with him and we are not walking in the Spirit, there are going to be some things that come out of our mouth that we're going to definitely regret. We're going to tell some people, thinking we're giving them some type of advice to help them or to edify them, when we're really hurting them. That's why it's so important for us to walk in the Spirit. That's why it's so important for us to tune in to the spiritual broadcast that's going on. This is why the Holy Spirit is so important in our lives. Because James is clearly telling us. I mean, I didn't have to say anything but read this, because he gave all the illustrations and the applications right there in the text. He's clearly saying that we can't do it on our own. We can't do it ourselves. He's telling us what we're dealing with, what we have in our mouth. It's dangerous. It's poison. And sometimes this tongue is so poisonous that it don't kill a person right away. It kills them over a period of time. You know, some of us wondering why our kids do the things they do. Well, what did you say to your kids? What were you saying to them years ago? We have destroyed them in their youth, and now in their old, they think they are not going to amount to nothing. They have began to believe the stuff that mama and daddy put into them. James says that without tongue, we bless our Lord and our Father. And with it, we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not be so. Let's see if I can park on somebody's street here. Imagine that we come to church on Sunday morning. We praise and worship God. We then gave him our best hallelujah, our best amens. And then we walk right out in the parking lot, right out there, before we even leave, and we curse somebody out. Oh, you never done that, huh? That's never happened to you. We would never do anything like that. No, we just wouldn't do that, would we? Well, what about we finish worshiping, praising God, and we walk right out there in the lobby? If we make it to the lobby. And then we find ourselves engaging in a conversation that is not productive, is not conducive to the life of the believer. You know what I'm talking about? I'm talking about gossip. That's the big one. It's very easy to fall into gossip. It happens so subtly sometimes. But I'm sure nobody up under the sound of my voice know anything about the ministry of gossip. Right? We don't know nothing about the ministry of gossip, I'm sure. Somebody may ask, well, what is gossip? Well, for those of you who don't know, I heard a preacher put it like this. Gossip is when you're talking with somebody about somebody and neither of you are part of the problem or the solution. I don't think y'all got that. Here it is one more time. It say, gossip is when you are talking with somebody about somebody and neither one of y'all are a part of the problem or the solution. So when we find ourselves in the bathroom
having that conversation about somebody else. And we're not a part of the problem. We're not a part of the solution. We're not speaking life. Well, what are you doing? You're speaking death. You're gossiping. You're defiling your whole self. Because what comes out is really what's in. All of this James is telling us, it's boiling down to, this is an issue of what's in our hearts. It's an issue of what's down in, on the inside.
I like what D.A. Carson said. He said, all of us would be wiser if we would resolve never to put people down except on our prayer list. So you get the urge, you feel like you want to gossip or talk about somebody or your ears are beginning to itch and you want to, you know, get that itch scratched. Well, just put the people, don't talk about nobody, just put them on your prayer list, pray for them. That's a good idea. That's a good way to handle that situation. Yeah. James says, does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. It's another illustration he's given us. And Jesus said in Matthew 15, but what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this defiles a person. Foul at heart come evil thoughts, murders, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, and slander. Oh, there go that word, God. There go that gossip again. Well, I know this is a touchy situation, and it's real quiet in here. I didn't get no amens from nobody either. You know, that means it's a little tense in here. And I believe it's a little tense in here because there's not one of us in here cannot identify with what James is talking about. Because we have all fell victim to it at some point in time in our life. All of us have said something that we know we shouldn't have said. This is why a text like this, I almost didn't want to even talk about this text because, you know, I didn't want nobody, you know. But we're going to leave that alone. James says this issue is a serious issue. And we as a body of believers, I think oftentimes we overlook this issue. We overlook the stuff that we say out of our mouths. You know, James says that it don't add up. It don't mix, you know. Sweet water don't come from salt water. They don't come from the same pond. You know what I mean? Apple trees don't give you oranges. Likewise, the Christian, if we are professing that we are a born again believer, we are not going to be spewing out these evil things out of our mouth. And sometimes they're very subtle. So we have to keep a guard on this thing and we have to keep an eye on it and be mindful of it because it's easy. It's easy. And gossip is one of the biggest ones. It's easy for us to fall into gossip. Cursing is another big one. Anybody know anything about the cursing ministry? Yeah, you didn't know it was a ministry called cursing, did you? Yeah. For a believer who leave church and they start to say some things out of their mouth that if you didn't know they was a Christian, you would say they ain't no Christian. That's a cursing ministry. So we gotta ask God to help us get under control and get in check. James said it's impossible for us to do it on our own. Because of the fall, we just gave dominion of ourselves away. We cannot get anything in control. We can't do it. So, what are we going to do about this? How are we going to move forward? How are we going to begin to try to get our mouths in check? Could anybody help me here? How could we get our mouths in check? Let me get a microphone for you, brother. brother.
Yeah, as you're preaching and I'm looking at it, like how can we grasp this a little? How can I relate to this a little deeper? I came across this quote that says that about the horse and taming. That says that know that the comparison is taken from the beast which we are able to tame. The horse does not tame itself, nor does a man do so.
Nope.
A man is needed in order to tame a horse, and in the same way, God is needed in order to tame a man. We are very dependent on God and an act from God. I also came across this other one. They talk about the taming of the tongue and harder than taming the beast. And this is not in order that we should tolerate evil just by saying that we can't tolerate, like we can tame the beast, but we can't tame our tongue. But we should go and ask for divine grace to tame our tongue.
That's right.
So that comes back to justification is by faith. And sometimes the things that I, like Paul, the things that I do want to do, I end up not doing it. But Jesus delivered us from that. And we should, when we are caught on that, because the Holy Spirit also convicts those who are God's children, we should go to God and ask for divine guidance and grace and cling to the justification that we inherit through Jesus Christ, because we can't justify ourselves.
Right.
We are all guilty.
Right. Amen. Amen. You know, James said that we all stumble in many ways. We're going to stumble with our mouths. So, yes, it's going to take Jesus Christ, His Holy Spirit, to help us with this issue of the tongue. But when he was talking about, my man said that he's a perfect man. That word perfect that he was talking about there, it's not perfection. It means that the believer has reached a level of maturity in his walk with Christ so that he is depending and leaning on the Holy Spirit to keep his tongue in check.
Yeah, excuse me. I think two of the ways that we can cooperate with the Spirit are preparation and recognition. Preparation, knowing that you're moving into some circumstances where you've had a problem before, where you've shot your mouth off before, where you already know you're angry about a situation, and we have to listen to the Spirit and prepare in our hearts to say, I'm going to keep my mouth shut. Like
that's right.
And I think the recognition comes because we're going to sin, and then we need to recognize it, we need to repent of it,
right.
And if we build those kind of patterns, we'll see ourselves becoming literally more sanctified.
That's right. Sure. Amen. I agree. I know we're running short on time. We was really running late today, but anybody else got anything they want to say?
You know, two things. One is when we speak, you know, often, or, well, maybe not often, but I hear people telling me what they think I want to hear. And that is a lie.
Yes.
And it's done in order to make themselves look better or to make me feel better about them. But, you know, those kinds of things are lies. The other thing is that when you are aware of something in your heart concerning somebody, how they're functioning or acting or whatever, the need to go and speak truth
to them
right. is important.
Right.
And, you know, those are things we don't often think about. We think about, you know, we're saying bad stuff or whatnot. But those are very important things for the proper use of the tongue, you know, speaking truth in both ways is very, very important.
Yes, I definitely wanted to you know, piggyback on what you said, you know, yes, that is very important. But, you know, the key word in that is speaking truth to them, you know, because oftentimes, you know, we get in a place where I'm just telling the truth. You know, I'm just telling it how it is. Well, the Bible tells us that a fool utters all of his mind. Go ahead, brother.
So the question was, how do we deal with this? Is that what you said? I know for me personally, how I deal with it is, first of all, I have to begin with my union with Christ. That is, I'm a believer. I've been born again. I have the Spirit of God and so forth. And usually I'll go to Romans 6, where he talks about that very reality of being dead to sin and alive in Christ. And it's from our union with Christ that the Holy Spirit creates greater faith and whatever else in our souls that we can serve God like we ought to. And I would couple that to the practical things that he goes to tell us in the remainder of the chapter. We can only do those things as we first see ourselves in union with Christ.
That's right. Amen. Amen. All right. I'm sorry to take up some of you guys' mingle time, but, you know, maybe that's God's way of stopping some of us from getting into a little bit of gossip. Okay. I'm going to end this just like I started it. John MacArthur said, a corrupt and unholy heart eventually will be exposed by corrupt and unholy speech. If the tongue is not controlled by God, it is a sure indicator that the heart is not either. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for this time that you gave us to go through these very startling truths, Lord. Thank you for reminding us of these things, Lord. We ask, Lord, that you would cause us, Lord, to be mindful of them all the time, Lord. Cause us, Lord, to draw nearer to you, Lord, as your Holy Spirit works on us and works with us with the issue of our speech, Lord. We ask that you would bridle our tongues, Lord. Cause us not to fall into gossip or lying, Lord. Help us in all these areas of our life, Lord. Help us to speak life, Lord, and not death. In Jesus' name, amen.